I'm joined in studio right now by one of our wonderful producers, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what on earth have you brought to the table this week?
I've been watching the latest season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, I watched the first few episodes of this but couldn't get past that. Do you
really
like it?
I adore it.
Okay, it's a very sweet show.
I think it's the funniest show on television.
Okay, so tell us for people out there who don't know what it's about.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt it's a show. Basically, the concept is this woman has been kept underground by a kidnapper for 15 years. She thought the world had ended.
Yeah, because they thought the apocalypse had come. Yeah.
The reverend who kept her underground is played by John Hamm, which I feel is relevant somehow. And then in the very start of the first episode of the first season, so I'm not like giving it away, she is found by like a SWAT team and they are released and she's realized the world still exists and now she's got to go and live
and catch up on 15 years.
Exactly. Yeah. New York City, but she has been underground since she was all of about 14.
Oh, no.
And so it's comedy in shoes. It's written by Tina Fey, who
Love
is like
her.
My hero.
Yeah.
And I think it's absolutely hilarious. It's so beautifully written and just hilarious characters.
Yeah.
Which I think Tina Fey and that group generally, like Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, they write such amazing characters because they come from like an improv background, I guess. But they, I think the characters are just brilliant. And we're up to season 4 now. And
4?
Yeah, this is the 4th
Really?
One.
Yep. Okay.
And I love it. It's still good. It's still good.
It's still great. It's still wonderful.
They're killing it.
I love her best friend in the series.
Titus.
Yeah, the guy she lives with
in
New York.
He is hilarious.
He seems really fun.
He does a parody. I think it's in like season 3, it could be, of Beyonce's Lemonade. And it is the greatest thing that has ever occurred.
It's like a silly comedy. It's like a fun comedy.
Oh, it is very light.
It's not cerebral at all.
No, it is just very, very silly about a girl. Imagine if you were underground for 15 years and didn't know how any technology worked. Or anything like that and had to go and lived in New York City and try and live and work and make friends. That is the concept of the show.
Because if we think back to like, so she would have, you know, gone underground like circa 2000.
Yeah.
A lot happened between 2000
and
2015.
Well, that's the thing. She doesn't know how to take a selfie or use a phone or do anything.
The internet was like very much in its infancy.
Exactly. But she's also, because her life stopped for 15 years essentially, she still has like interests of like a child. Like,
oh,
so she likes things that like a 15-year-old would like.
And she wants to live her childhood out.
Yeah. And I think my favorite part of it is that she says sayings from like 15 years ago, like, or like things that were in fads.
Talk to
then.
The hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like things like that, like for all the time because she thinks it's still in fashion.
That's fun. I have a very, very different show for my pick this week. It's called The Last SARS. It's a 6-part series on Netflix about the Romanov family and the last Tsar of Russia.
Oh.
So Nicholas.
It doesn't sound as funny.
No, it's not at all funny. So it's this really interesting documentary. Each episode goes for like 45, 50 minutes. So they're not, you know, movie length, but they're quite long and they're juicy. And it's this mix between like historical documentary with very accredited academics and dramatization.
Okay, so there is like straight to camera interviewing as well as
straight to camera interviewing with historical people, like historians, and then like dramatic reenactments, but not in the sense that you would think dramatic reenactment.
Oh, so not like super
like
when they do it on
show. It's like a proper drama show with these little spliced interviews with historians talking about the rise and fall of the last Tsar of Russia.
That sounds
really
interesting.
Super interesting. Now, we all know the Romanovs because of like Anastasia, the lost princess, which it was proven a few years back that she wasn't. They were all definitely murdered.
Oh, God.
During the revolution, because they thought two of them had got away. They thought the little boy and Anastasia had got away. But they only found, you know, so many of the siblings and the parents, but they were just buried somewhere else. We don't know why. There are a lot of really amazing parts of this show. It's beautifully shot. It's gorgeously acted. The costumes are amazing. The sets are amazing. I think it does a really interesting, it's this really interesting way of weaving the drama and the historical narrative together as well. There are some problems.
Oh, God.
All of the main characters speak with an English accent, even though they are Russian.
Oh, see, I was just about to ask who made it, because I love Americans are guilty of that a lot of the time, where it's like, we're all having perfect American, like, California accents.
Yeah, like, in, like, 1906 Russia, they all speak with beautiful Queen's English. Like, it's just...
Oh, I love it.
But then some of the characters do speak English with a Russian accent. Again, there's no rhyme or reason. It seems to be the evil characters like,
oh, that's questionable.
It's really questionable. And then and they dive into the relationship and the role of Rasputin with the queen or the Tsarina, and it's this really fantastic show.
I really like good dramatization. Like, it really bothers me when there's like, you know, when it gets really corny during.
So it seems like it's pretty, it's not completely historically accurate. There are a few things like a military outfit that the Tsar wore. He wore 15 years too early because he hadn't been made that part of the military. But like things like people think this tattoo that they show was fake and added for drama. But no, it's real. And it seems quite accurate but inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a weird one that you don't know, but
it's accurate
really
to a point.
Enjoyable to watch. It's really interesting to watch. It's a lot of social commentary on the socio-political and socio-economic state of Russia at the turn of the century and during the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, well, not so much the Second World War, the First World War. It talks a lot about the really complex political structures of Russia and how they were kind of the last autocracy of Europe. And how that fell in a really spectacular and violent fashion.
Wow.
And all the things that could have been done to, they constantly say this was like a turning point. If a different decision had been made at this point, it probably wouldn't have ended up the way it did. It's this series of like terrible decisions that led to this really violent end for the imperial family of Russia.
I actually love shows like that where you're watching them and they're just like, make a mistake, then make it, and you're like, what are you doing, buddy?
Why are you?
Pull it together.
Go and see the people. What are you doing? Stop it.
Everything
Stop
you're it. Doing, do less of it. Yeah. Stop it.
Do the opposite. And it's beautifully acted, even with the weird English accents. Like, well, the queen of Russia, the Tsaress of Russia was German. And the Tsar was obviously Russian, and they both speak with the same English accent, and it's really annoying.
I like to imagine in these sorts of shows where accents are so wrong, though, like this, I like to imagine that they're all British actors, and they originally were supposed to have an accent, and then just two of them, like everyone else
got
it,
set.
But like two of them just could not do it, and you're like, you know what, screw it.
Change it up.
I can't put up with this anymore. Like, just speak normally. This is awful. Yeah. Just stop.
Yeah, it's quite a graphic show. There's a lot of, for want of a better term, like sex, drugs and rock and roll. It's not one for the kids, but it is. I've been binging it over the last day and a half.
I'm going to have to watch it.
There's 6 episodes. They are, you know, around that 50-minute mark. Highly recommend. I've got the last half of the last episode to go. So, and the thing is, like, I know what's going to happen. History has told us how this will end, but you still hope it won't.
Oh, it doesn't stop you freaking out at the end of Titanic.
Even though these people, like, made some really, really bad choices and they weren't particularly good people and they have been portrayed, you know, Nicholas the Bloody or Nikolai, I can't remember. They call him Nicky. They keep calling him Nicky as like a nickname. I'm like, who called him Nicky?
Nico.
Yeah, he was like the imperial leader of Russia and they're like, hey, Nicky. I'm like, no one called him Nicky. Like, maybe his wife, but no one, not all
and
the people
between
around
them.
Him. Exactly. I feel it feels dirty. I'm like, no. It'd be like, hey, Liz, what you doing? Hey, Lizzie.
High five.
Or when they call her Lilibet, which is her nickname in The Crown. And I'm like, no.
What are you doing?
Yeah, but they called him like Nicky the Bloody. He made like some really horrible decisions and was a violent ruler from the sounds of it. But I still look at this family and I'm like, I know what's happening. I'm just like, I know what's going to happen. I'm really sorry because it's going to be awful. Like,
you seem very on board with the show.
Everyone is a villain and everyone is. It's this really, I have really complex feelings about it and I don't know enough about the really complex political structure of Russia at the time. I know nothing about it. I knew nothing coming into it. We never learned about this in school. We never learned about any of this. So I feel like maybe I'm taking a really unpopular opinion and if I did a bit more research, I wouldn't feel the way I do. Because often these political figures are very problematic and I just don't know why they're problematic
at this
moment.
But now
you're
going to go like research it, aren't you? And you're going to go find out.
I'm going to have to and just be like, oh, cool, I get it. Like,
I reckon most things I know about history like come from I've watched a TV show and it's like I need the gaps filled in.
Yeah, I watched a doco and we need to get the rest.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's on Netflix. it's really good. There will not be a second season because we all know how this story ends and it is with violent death.
I secretly hope they like do bring back a second season. It's like not at all historically accurate just to keep the money coming.
Yeah, well, no, because a big part of this the dramatization, they're flashing back from this girl who's claiming that she's Anastasia. So they're trying to figure out whether or not she is really the lost princess of Russia, which we all know now that she won't be because they figure that out. And it's based on a very, very famous imposter who a lot of people believed. Well, but everyone who was connected to the family said wasn't Anastasia. Yeah, it's really good. There's a huge history. Really recommend. So it's called The Last Tsars. It's on Netflix. And then we had The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, also on Netflix.
Also on Netflix.
You know what? You're probably going to need a little bit of a palate cleanser after the very deep and dark Last Tsars. So
watch a woman run around in New York. Like,
go episode for episode. That's the way you got to do it. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jess.